Hey, what up, Long Beach? Hope you and yours are happy and healthy. We got another great episode this week as we continue to cover the LBC schools and their sports teams. As always, I'm JJ Fiddler, and on the other side of this Skype call, he's Mike Artabasia.
How you doing, buddy? How you hanging in there?
Hanging in there. Good news, bad news, you know, gutters and strikes. That's how it goes.
Weeks are now days to me. A week is one measurement of time. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So I wouldn't say that I have good days and bad days. I'd say I have good days and bad weeks. This has definitely been a bad week. Like, I'm sick of everything this week. I'm sick of work. I'm sick of my friends. I'm sick of my family. I'm sick of myself. Like, I'm sick of, obviously, the quarantine. And I don't know. I need to, like, go outside tonight at, like, midnight and just scream for, like, 40 seconds or something.
That's fair. I might join you howling at that full moon. I'm more on the day thing. I keep thinking of that scene in that movie 1917 where they go up to the first trench and the guy says, "Hey, what day is it?" He says, "Friday." And he goes, "This idiot over here thought it was Tuesday." That's how I'm feeling nowadays.
I very literally had, I'm the room parent for my son's first grade classroom. And one of the things I've offered to do, because you and I have the jobs we have, is I said in my weekly message to all the other parents, if you need help getting on the Google Classroom stuff, text me. Like, here's my phone number, text me. I've been able to figure this stuff out. And I've helped four or five parents get on it. You know, it helps me feel good about myself and what I'm doing or whatever. But definitely yesterday, one of the parents was like, "Are you having trouble logging on?" And I was like, "You mean like for school? Like, what do you mean?" And she was like, "Oh my God, it's Wednesday."
And yes. And I'm on her level.
I was just like, she was so embarrassed. And I was like, "We've literally all been there at this point. Like, do not stress about it."
Well, we have definitely been staying busy. This podcast is obviously part of our Long Beach Post partnership. We do it each and every week. And at the top of the show, before we get to our special interview with Long Beach Poly basketball player Peyton Watson, we just kind of wanted to run down some of the stories we've been doing recently, because like I said, it's strikes and gutters, man. There's a lot of good news out there. There's a lot of bad news and a lot of questions that are starting to be answered as the city of Long Beach gets into phase two of reopening.
Yeah, I feel like I'm writing the most uplifting stories of my career, the most depressing stories of my career, and literally nothing in between. I mean, it's just either the Alexander feature we talked about last week, which I'm crying writing, or it's the three Poly football alums who are handing out pizzas to homeless people and the homeless people telling them, "Thank you for treating me like a human being." I just, like, I'm emotional all the time. The stories are either all the way at the top of the roller coaster or right at the bottom of Splash Mountain with nothing anywhere in between.
Well, at least I got a pretty good piece of news in that some of the local baseball and softball youth leagues are planning a return to the fields this summer. That is so exciting for, like, Uptown Long Beach, El Dorado, Babe Ruth, Pony, Hartwell. They're thinking they're going to have to do it a little bit differently, condensed seasons, changing practice schedules and stuff like that. But exactly, who cares? The fact that these people want to get back on the field is really exciting. I talked to Jeff Chaplin, the Uptown Long Beach All-Star manager, and they sent out a survey to more than 400 families that are involved in the Uptown Long Beach baseball and softball leagues. And he said that about 70% of the league members are interested in resuming play this summer. Obviously, that's going to have to be there's going to have to be changes to the regular way of playing, like hand sanitizer and hand washing stations, managing seating in the bleachers, managing equipment, not sharing equipment, which if you play Little League Baseball, you know everybody shares equipment. We're talking about masks for the players, masks for the coaches. Everything is on the table, is what Jeff said. And I like that approach. Stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
I'm a coach of both my kids' teams. I'm an assistant coach for at El Dorado, at the Los Altos Youth Baseball and Softball League. And, you know, I let our coaches know, I'll personally volunteer to stand there with Lysol wipes and hit everybody as they go in and out of the door. I mean, whatever it takes to get the kids back to being outside and running around together and doing the stuff you're supposed to be doing as it warms up. Yeah, you're right. That is a good piece of news. And actually, people, by the time you listen to this podcast, this might be up on Twitter. I'm going to give Vincent your article to read, because I haven't talked to him about this, and I'm going to let him read it and then just see how he responds to it and if he, like, understands it and everything.
That's amazing.
Because I think he's getting, dude, they miss sports so much. My kids have never not played sports. They don't remember a time in their life when they weren't playing organized sports of some kind.
Right.
And they definitely, it's just like, Vincent just made up a game today called Throw the Newspaper Back and Forth, where we stood at opposite ends of the yard and we tried to see how many times we could throw the Grunion Gazette to each other without dropping it. 13. 13, by the way.
Nice. Lucky 13. That's very meta. Throw the newspaper back and forth has basically been our careers.
Right, yeah. Or be thrown back and forth between the newspapers. That's not the only good piece of news. I know my piece of normalcy that I'm craving is the youth baseball stuff like we talked about. But for you, I mean, you've been an avid golfer as long as I've known you. And I know that one of the other things the city's talking about opening up at the end of this week is golf courses, which I'm sure you are excited about.
Absolutely thrilled. I think we called it a couple weeks ago saying that when this stuff does come back, the activities and sports that have the inherent social distancing already in place are going to kind of have an advantage when we bring it all back piecemeal. And yeah, golf is there. This weekend, I will be on the course this weekend. People will be golfing this weekend. I am thrilled to be able to actually go out and do a story, talk to people, you know what I mean? Get a quote from somebody I'm standing in front of. That's going to be exciting. But yeah, playing golf with a mask is going to be weird.
It's going to be weird talking to a stranger in person, to be honest with you.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, wearing a mask is going to be strange. But I also think that the biggest difference, and this is kind of like a golf, inside golf thing, but shaking hands before and after a round with the person you're playing with is a huge part of the game. It's a show of respect to that person, but it's also a show of respect to the game of golf. And to not do that before and after a round, just at a local municipal golf course, it's going to be like starting a football game without a coin toss. It's just not going to feel right. But that being said, even if these courses are absolutely packed to capacity and the round takes 7 hours, don't care. Sign me up, dude. I am ready to go play that 7 hour round at Eldo on Saturday.
And then when you're done, you're just gonna sit on Studebaker and just watch other people walking around.
Yes.
You said it, dude. We all need that. Do stick around another couple minutes for our interview with Peyton Watson from Long Beach Poly. Really excited to get to catch up with him. I wanted to just hit on a couple other stories we've had go up recently. I mentioned a little earlier the good, sort of a good news feature. I'm trying to switch off back and forth on my big feature every week between some good news and some bad news and some good news and some bad news. It was good news this week. Three Poly football alums that we covered there, Cameron and Nolan McDonald, as well as Raymond Graham, just decided, the three of them, that they wanted to do something for the families that are hurting. And they literally just were like, went on Twitter and were like, Venmo us money to go buy pizzas. And they went and got like 60 Little Caesars pizzas and just went around downtown Long Beach to like anywhere they saw like kind of a little homeless encampment and just delivered these people food. And they weren't like filming it, right? Doing the clout chasing thing where they're like, I want to get a video of this guy crying as I help him out. They were just down there trying to help out. And I just thought that was so beautiful because I think we all feel so helpless right now. And we're all aware, you know, you and I are dealing with sort of difficult personal circumstances, and everyone is. But we're also like, we also know where we're sleeping every night, and we've still got jobs. Really almost every colleague of ours from a previous publication is dealing with some kind of an employment uncertainty.
Yep.
And people around the country and the city are just, you know, going through this horrific experience that's so much more deep cutting, I think, than what we're going through. You just have that feeling like, I just want to do something. And I just love that they were like, well, we can't get pizza. We can't solve the budget deficit. We can't fix all these different problems. But like, I know there's people who are hungry right now and I can afford to buy them pizza. And I just thought that was such a beautiful, like, that's the way 20-year-olds should be thinking about the world. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Do what you can when you can. Make sure you're donating to really any charity or organization that's trying to do what those kids were able to do just by themselves. Absolutely love that story. We've also got some content on Long Beach Post right now, like our new 562 classic video looking back at the 2009 upset, Millikan football and Alden Derby. It was the Alden Derby game. I think that's how people remember it and refer to it. Double overtime, upsetting Poly at home. Just one of the craziest games and game covering experiences that you and I have ever had. I was covering a different game, but it was a blowout, running clock in the fourth quarter. So I was able to run over and you and I watched basically second half of the fourth quarter and overtimes together, and were able to cut that video. One of the most exciting videos also, because everything that happened in that game was nuts.
Yeah, you're the only person who remembers what football game you were at that night. That's
fair enough.
you know, I think it's, you get 10 memories a year, you get one memory a decade, right? You know, like 10 years ago, that game is the game that everyone remembers and talks about for sure.
So. Absolutely. We've been doing those 5-6-2 classic recalls, kind of like director's commentary at Long Beach Post. So we've got a couple up there, a couple football games, baseball game, and a basketball game. We're going to be doing some girls basketball next week. So make sure you come back and check that out. And Mike, I think you did a great job of working that story about Long Beach Unified School District and kind of just the situation that they find themselves in now, in that everybody's at home, but now everybody's trying to figure out if they've got the budget to bring everybody back.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I've been doing a lot of this education reporting for the Post, which you can check out at obpost.com. Last night they had a regular meeting of a board of education, obviously very different than what it would have been like, you know, we're all this crazy nonsense not going on. But yeah, I mean, they're dealing with just these huge issues. Like, you and I started covering sports in Long Beach in 2008, as the district was going through this huge 650 employee layoff, that quite frankly, the effects of that layoff, are still being felt in the sports world that we cover really acutely today. I mean, coaches were displaced from schools and never got back to those schools. Coaches were laid off and left, like Thad McNeil, leaving to go down to Carlsbad from Lakewood High School. That you and I have done this what if a lot. Like, what if that dude had just stayed at Lakewood? I mean, you know, what does the world look like if that doesn't happen? And the quote that I just can't gird people enough for what's coming. The quote from Felton Williams, who's one of the board members, was, "This is a lot more ominous situation than 2008." And I think everyone should be prepared because, you know, in 2008, the middle school sports program barely survived in the LBUSD. The high school sports program at one point was one of the things being talked about, for elimination. And I think people need to prepare themselves and begin to start putting pressure on the state legislators and the governor to try and do whatever they can to keep education funding level, because these cuts, I mean, you know, the LBUSD is the biggest employer in the city. And obviously I think sort of its central cultural institution as well, not just because of our jobs. And yeah, I mean, everyone should be thinking about these cuts, and it's obvious that they are thinking about them now. We're also doing plenty of reporting on stuff like changing high school graduation requirements. And, you know, there's been some pushback from some parents and kids on the issue of them going credit, no credit instead of grades. There's just a ton of education reporting out there, and we're definitely trying to, you know, kind of keep up with everything. So,
yeah, we don't just cover the sports, we cover the schools, and a community is only as strong as its schools. So definitely check out those stories and stay tuned, because there's going to be more news coming, obviously.
All right, we're about to get to our special interview with Peyton Watson. I would say arguably kind of the biggest name in high school sports in Long Beach right now, which is a special pedestal to ascend to. He's a 5-star basketball recruit at Long Beach Poly. Just wrapped up his junior season and is now sitting on offers from most of the college basketball programs that you could name. We had a good time talking to Peyton about being a recruit at a time when no one can see you play, the shutdown of school at a time when he was a big man on campus at a school where it's hard to be a big man on campus, and everything else. So definitely stick around. I hope you'll enjoy this interview with Peyton.
It's a great interview, and it's also really interesting how, I mean, I hope you bought your Peyton Watson stock last year. Because he's came into
I
the
I bought year. Mine 2 years ago.
Yeah, he came into
I,
the year.
I bought mine when he was a 10th grader who averaged 3 points a game.
He came into the year ranked number 32 in the class of 2021. And now I think he's up to 11 or 12.
He's top, consensus top 15. And people, you can hear him talk about it himself. I just think he's got the right mentality about it.
He does have the right mentality. I just think it's fascinating that he's got the old school mentality, like the way he talks about watching Michael Jordan in Last Dance. That's an old school mentality. But he's also like a 6'7" positionless player, which is a very right. new school idea.
He's a 6'7" point guard, yeah. Who will play the five at times. Yes, for sure. Right. Yes. That's a tremendous point. He is definitely my favorite Peyton Watson story already. And I know we'll have a lot more coming out of this next season for him. But, you know, he went viral last year for dunking on a kid on the blacktop at Poly. And I texted him afterwards and I go, I don't think there's a lot of 5-star kids out there who are still hooping on the blacktop at school. But that's my favorite stuff. I mean, I hope everyone sticks around. Listen to him say why he wanted to go to and stay at Poly instead of going out to one of those big private schools or something, because I thought that was great.
Before we start the interview, we have got to mention our partners in pretty much everything we do at the 562.org, including this podcast, and that is Naples Rib Company. Get down there to Naples Rib Company. They've been serving food since this thing began, and they are still doing it. You don't got to go inside. You can just walk right up to the window. We talk about it every week, and I just can't say it enough. It tastes like normal. It tastes like outside. It tastes like Long Beach. Naples Rib Company, it's absolutely delicious. I got the brisket the other night. Still just the best. It's just the best. I also go to other places, but when you go to Naples, you don't want to go to other places. You just want to be there to feel that Long Beach feel, and they've got it at Naples Rib Company. Get down there, say hello to Dave and everybody, and tell them the 562.org sent you.
We are joined by Peyton Watson, Long Beach Poly junior, still a junior. I guess the school year is still technically going. Peyton, what's life like and what are things like in the Watson household during this this quarantine?
Man, we're just trying to stay occupied around here, whether that's working out every day. We've been finding a way to work out in a variety of ways. So we go up to Signal Hill. Luckily, we have that in Long Beach. We go up there and run. I have a court outside. I'm blessed to have that. So we can go out there and shoot pretty much anytime we want. So I've just been staying sharp, staying in shape. And as far as outside of basketball, I've just been I've been reading a lot of books, playing a lot of video games, and then just trying to stay on top of this online school, because it's not the same as when you walk in and when they'll like teach you stuff and then you might not have as much workload. They can't do that right now as effectively. So now it's just a lot more busy work. So staying on top of that.
Yeah, I was going to ask, I mean, we haven't talked to a lot of high school kids directly, but I mean, how different is this sort of like learning at home thing, right? I mean, like my wife's a teacher, so I see how different it is on her side. I think we hear a lot more about teachers, but I mean, is it harder? Is it more boring? Is it like, how do you feel about the whole transition, I guess?
For me, it's easier. It's just a lot harder to concentrate when you're constantly at home all day. Because when you're at school, you're like, all right, this is business. All right, you know what you're here for. You're here to learn. Then when you go home, then you can kind of relax. But if you're at home all the time, you got to know kind of when to turn it on, when to turn it off. So it's harder to concentrate. But as far as class and everything else goes, it's easy for me.
You mentioned, I was going to ask you about this. Your dad has posted a couple of videos on Twitter of you working on moves on the brick driveway.
Yeah.
Do you feel like there's a little bit of it feels a little bit old school to me, right? Like kids who are of your status right now, you can get into a gym anytime you want, right? I mean, you probably have keys to five different places, whatever. And now you're kind of back to where, you know, Willie McGinnis or someone who's sort of old school might have been like, well, we got a hoop on the driveway. Like, I guess that's what we're going to do. Are you enjoying that sort of I feel like that's kind of your character. I mean, I still see you playing on the blacktop and stuff. So are you sort of enjoying that meat and potatoes approach, I guess?
Yeah, that's how I am, man. I was never one for a lot of fancy stuff. I'm not high maintenance. Nothing has to be extravagant for me. Whatever I get, I'll take it. And having a hoop outside is honestly a blessing, and it's underrated. I mean, you don't have to be in a gym to get the best work in. You get the same work outside, and you can get it more consistently, honestly, because I go out there two, three times a day and just work out with my little brother and compete. So that's just going back to our roots. That's how we came up playing. We didn't really start getting serious in the gym until we got to high school, so It's definitely where I came from, and going back to it is fun.
You mentioned your little brother. Your parents are very fortunate in the position a lot of people would love to be, that you guys are both sitting on scholarship offers. How much fun are the two of you guys having? I mean, you're just locked in the house together at this point. Are you sick of each other yet? Are you enjoying working out together? Or is it more competitive than it usually is? What's it like between you guys right now?
Well, for starters, it's always competitive, no matter what it is. I mean, sometimes our parents have to stop us from playing because we're going to fight. But every day, to be honest with you, it's every day it's something new with him and me. So one day we're fighting the whole day. One day we're just chilling. We'll nap. We'll just chill. And then the next day we'll be super competitive. So whatever it is, it's always something new with him. He always finds a new way to get on my nerves. Always finds a new way to get on my sister's nerves. He's just that kid in the house where he wants to get under everybody's skin.
He's a middle child. She's a middle child. That's his job, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what his job is, and he does it well. So there's no complaints over here. We're just sharpening, iron sharpens iron, so we're just competing and getting better together.
The quarantine, I've obviously been paying attention to the, you know, your Twitter feed. I know the quarantine is not keeping college coaches from reaching out and offering and keeping in touch with you guys. It's probably, if I had to guess, having covered several other prominent recruits, it's probably a little annoying being at home by your phone 24 hours a day, the amount of attention you're getting. But what's that like? How are you managing that? Do you have a second phone that's just for that kind of stuff yet? Or how are you sort of keeping that from just overwhelming your daily schedule?
Nah, it's all on this phone. And it's a lot, honestly, right now, because nobody has anything to do. So they're right. Like, I have nothing better to do. Let me call him and check in and see what he's doing. So, I mean, it can get overwhelming sometimes. I'm never going to say it's annoying because it's a blessing to be recruited by these schools and have them want to come to your university. But one thing is, like, you'll get a call from someone and then you'll pick it up and then it'll be like a 4-minute conversation because we just talked yesterday and nothing much has changed in the last 24 hours.
Right.
So it's like yep. We're all doing the same thing.
Still here, at home. So. How you holding up? Yep. Okay. The kids are good. Okay. Yeah. Chris is doing good. Okay. That's sure. Cool.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's how it's been going for me pretty much. But it's good because I mean, a lot of people thought that with no AAU, there would be no new schools coming in to talk to them and no new schools being interested in them, but it's been wild for me, honestly. A lot of East Coast schools are starting to reach out to me, and we're hearing more and more about them every day, and that's kind of expanding my recruitment a bit.
Yeah, for sure. How do you you are whatever your basketball career holds, this spring will be something that you will think about and talk about forever, because you're just in the weirdest position. You're like, you know, you're a big man on campus at a school where it's a pretty big deal to be a big man on campus. And then, okay, yeah. Now we're not going to school anymore. Right. Like, you're a recruit that's blowing up, but you're not playing. You're not able to do the stuff you normally do. I mean,
it's just a living contradiction,
right?
living contradiction
for sure. How about, I'm trying to think, what was the most recent offer? Was it Georgetown just offered?
Yeah,
you?
It was.
Well, that reminds, obviously, speaking of Patrick Ewing, I've been enjoying the Last Dance documentary. Have you guys been watching that and catching up on that stuff in the house?
Yeah, we've been watching it. And the funny thing about our family is that we can't wait for the next episode. So we'll just watch the other one until the next one comes. So we'll watch it over and over and over again. And there's some important stuff you pick up from watching stuff like this. And I definitely picked up something valuable, and probably one of my favorite quotes Jordan said that that he shared with us is that I'll never ask my teammates to do something that I myself aren't doing. So he's like, I'm never going to ask my teammates to do something that I'm not doing. So that's leading by example. And as you can see in the documentary, he was 35 years old winning line drills every time. So it was just a different type of mentality that he had. And I was just saying to myself, well, if Michael Jordan is already the best player on the planet and he's still doing that, then I need to for sure be doing that. So it's big time.
I think I mentioned that to you last year. We cover a lot of kids who have, I mean, there's a lot of kids who are 5'8" and maybe have closer to a Michael Jordan mentality. And then we've covered a lot of kids who are your height and maybe not necessarily as motivated. You have always struck me as someone who, I know your growth spurt came on the last couple of years, so you haven't been, enormously tall your whole career or whatever, but you strike me as someone who has a really good balance of that, of sort of the physical gifts, but also that focus. Are you kind of taking notes on Michael Jordan? Like, okay, this is what he's saying and this is what I should be doing.
Most definitely. And there's a maturity about my game when I step on the floor, because if you know me off the court, I'm the most goofy, immature person of all time. Like, you would never expect me to like be the same player I am on the court as the person I am off the court. But when I get on the court, I kind of turn on a switch. And to me, it's just like kill or be killed out there. And that's exactly what it is for me. I'm like the most competitive person of all time. I turn anything into a competition. we were playing Uno the other day, and we almost fought over Uno, me and my little brother. So it's just like something in me that's just like I want to win at all costs. And I think I show that when I play, and I'm glad people see that.
Are you getting stuff from the documentary that's maybe instructive on stuff not to do? You know what I mean? I think there's been plenty of talk with Michael Jordan recently about, right? I mean, you'll see the episode's airing this Sunday. He's going to talk about punching Steve Kerr in the face in a practice, right?
Yep. So, I already got that episode because of Brantley. So I'm up to game on that.
Okay.
And definitely there's stuff that you do, like, when you're in a competitive spirit and you're in the moment and you're with guys that you've been playing with for a long time, as he was with Kerr, you just get so comfortable with somebody and so competitive with somebody that you may act on impulse and not really understand what you're doing at the time.
Right.
So in practice, I yell at my teammates all the time. I mean, I try to test them mentally. And sometimes I just come in straight being a straight a-hole, if you will. Right. I mean, that's just what I do. And I think it gets them better and it builds them up. I mean, I break them down to build them up, honestly. But they're never going to see anything on the court that I haven't already showed them. So that's just one thing I pride myself on. And I just bring that intensity every time. But sometimes I know it gets under their skin, so I do go back and apologize sometimes. But for the most part, they know that I'm doing it for the greater good of the team.
I think it's an interesting balance. You know, by the time, if you're Michael Jordan, you're playing in the NBA, okay, everyone's making a good amount of money, everyone's a professional. Yeah. You can expect a certain amount of dedication from everyone. In high school, you obviously play, you know, being at Long Beach Poly for a program with, it's got a pedigree and a championship expectation, all that stuff. But there's still no doubt that some of the kids on your team, it's just their seventh period class, right? You know, and they might love basketball, but they're not thinking with a 20-year vision on what their career is going to be the way you are. I'm always kind of interested in that, how you balance that, expecting greatness, but without making half the team quit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's honestly a good question, because I tell myself the same thing, because sometimes I get frustrated at my teammates because I know how hard I'm personally working and how much it means to me. And that's not reciprocated all the time in their actions. So sometimes that'll frustrate me and I'll get angry. But at the same time, I got to realize that we're doing this for maybe different reasons.
Right.
And there's different stuff that pushes us. So I just try to be understanding of everybody's situation as well as my own. And I try to stress to them that, obviously, we have different goals with doing this. Yours may be just to get a free education, or just to say to your kids, I played on Poly's varsity team, which is a big deal.
Right.
So there's just different levels to it, and I understand that, and I just have to remind myself of that sometime.
Yeah. You and your brother both and your parents have I think, spoken really beautifully about what you're getting from going to, you know, literally your home school.
Yeah.
As opposed to, you know, hopping on a bus to an Orange County private school or whatever. And I'm sure that you guys have had plenty of people who have suggested that you go in that direction instead.
Okay.
What do you think you get out of it? I mean, I think I'm hopeful that you and Josh Christopher at Mayfair are sort of starting a return to this playing with some, you know, a little bit more pride in the school that you're going to and stuff. But what do you think you get out of being at Poly? As opposed to a private school that you're, you know, on a bus to 1 hour in each direction or whatever.
Well, you get to represent where you grew up from. I think going to the school where you live is kind of a pride thing for me, and I'm territorial in my school. So everywhere I go, I'm repping Long Beach Poly. And also it just builds character, because you might not be in the best place when you start off, but you got to build a foundation and slowly and gradually build your way up. And that's just what I did. I mean, I know people have heard my story. They're probably sick of it by now, but I didn't come in this way. And I knew I wasn't going to come in being an All-American, but that's just what I started to build towards. And that's what I worked for. And eventually I got like this, and I'm not stopping. I'm doing the same thing I was doing 2 years ago that I am now. And hopefully the work that I'm doing now pays off in another 2 years. So you never really know when it's going to hit you, but that work, it does pay off eventually.
Yeah. I definitely want to talk to you about that a little bit. I mean, basketball is such a weird sport right now in terms of the recruiting where, I mean, I got an email yesterday from someone who's like, I have the best six-year-old in America. You know what I mean? Like, it's that. But the thing is, he's not, that dad's not the only person who's saying that. There's some guy who's ranking six-year-olds, right? That's crazy. Who thinks that. And it's a sport where it can feel, to me, a little bit hard to be a surprise. You know, I mean, I just, there's it so is. Much intention, attention at such a young age. You really were kind of a surprise. I mean, you over the last year have built into, you know, like you said, an All-American caliber player. But what's that rocket ride been like for you? You go from kind of just a skinny basketball player at Poly, where there's plenty of skinny basketball players, to, you know, a national recruit. So what's that last 12 months been like for you?
It's just so hard to, as you said, come out of nowhere in today's age with technology and social media. I mean, if you're good at something really early, it's going to be out there and people are going to see it. So for me, it was more of my parents always taught me that you don't ever want to be the guy that peeks out in seventh grade, which there's nothing wrong with that, because being good early, I mean, I wish I was good early. But I mean, basketball is one of those sports where if you're super physically gifted, it's just gonna, people are gonna see you, like Mikey Williams is now. And I wouldn't even necessarily call myself a late bloomer, because I don't think being good, just becoming is good and people are starting to see it as a junior is necessarily like super late bloomer. But yeah. I mean, for today's age, that's what they call it. And I wasn't Mikey Williams dunking in seventh grade by any means. And it's hard to be that guy, because you have to maintain that throughout all of high school, honestly. So if you think about it, he had a great freshman season.
Right.
But he has to do that consistently for another 3 years. And I think he could do it, but I think it was easier the way I did it. It was more organic. And I was able to work in the dark without anyone really putting any pressure on me to be good. And I just stuck with it.
I mean, I imagine it would be motivating too. I think back on who I was in middle school, and if everything was coming easy to me and I was being praised and getting, you know, scholarship offers or whatever, I mean, with all due respect, I've got a good work ethic, but you're just not going to work as hard if you've already got that stuff kind of on the plate and you're talking about a 13-year-old kid, right? So do you feel like having that sort of goal you were trying to attain kind of kept – it made it easier to not burn out or just sort of be like, okay, cool, I got it, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, just – I've been getting recruited heavily for only a year, so so it's been different for me. I know a lot of guys have been getting recruited since their eighth grade year, so they may be burnt out by now, but everything's still kind of fresh and new to me, and I'm just taking everything in and learning, honestly. And to be able to go through this at a young age, but also where I'm mature enough to handle all of it, is a blessing.
Just ask a couple fun, quick questions at the end here. What's the number one thing you miss about going to school every day?
Just seeing all my homies, just cracking jokes. Poly's like a super interesting school, and it's super diverse, and there's a lot of different people. So just being with my homies, and then like every day you go to school, you see someone different. Like, I don't think I've even come close to seeing half of everybody at Poly. Like, it's such a big school. It's just fun getting to see and meet new people every day, honestly.
I've tried to explain this to people, and you're one of maybe 30 people I know who kind of can fully understand it, but when you're at a school like Poly where there's 4,000 or 5,000 kids and everybody knows who you are mostly.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's a very different experience than going to a private school with a couple hundred kids and everyone knows, oh, we're not allowed to talk to him because his dad is whoever, you know, or whatever. You're really getting more of like a college approach, but in a place where, you know, there's people who are very wealthy, and then there's people who don't have anything, right? I mean, it's a really
weirdest
unique thing.
Dynamic of all time. But that, I mean, that's what makes Poly what it is. I mean, you take somewhere that might be in an inner city community, but then you have people from Virginia Country Club and Bixby Knowles come in, being in Pace,
right?
And then you have people from down the street come in, and then it just all coming together, and it's a great athletic school, and then it's a great academic school. So there's so many different factors that contribute to it being such a great school. And if you look at Poly, we don't have state-of-the-art equipment. We don't have the best trainer in the world. We don't have NBA weight room. Right. We don't have any of that. But I think it's just there's something there when you go to Poly that propels you to be great. And I can't – no one can really put their finger on why it's like that, but it just is.
Yeah.
And being able to go there and, like, be known. Every day I walk into school, there's a newspaper. There's a section of Poly where there's me and the headlines of newspapers up and down. And I walk by it every day, and I'm like, wow, there are a lot of people seeing this. So it's great. It's great.
What's your, one thing, and I mean, the reason Tyler and I wrote our book on the history of the school was exactly what you just said. No one's really been able to figure out what's right. I mean, like, because Compton High School was the exact same as Poly, 50 years ago, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then just paths diverge for these different schools. I've seen you post game, you know, getting mentored by NBA players or by Willie McGinnis, right? I mean, how helpful is that sort of alumni fraternity for you in sort of giving you a little bit of a heads up of what these next couple of years will be like for you?
Well, it's crazy with such a big school how it could be such an intimate community at the same time. And just getting advice from some of those older guys like Willie McGinnis, Jordan Bell, Barry Barnes, Carlos Rivers, just all of those guys just coming back to the games and giving me advice on what I need to do better. It's big time for me because that obviously shows that they see something in me and they see that I can potentially be a great one to come out of Poly. So hearing things like that from them is inspiring.
Okay, real quick, who wins a one-on-one game between you and your brother?
Me.
Okay, between you and your dad.
He's old news.
Okay, how about you and Brantley, your uncle?
If you ask him, he'll say him.
Yeah.
But I guarantee you he cannot beat me.
What's the score on a game of 15?
I've gotten bigger than it. I've just gotten bigger than it.
What's the score on a game to 15 if you're playing Brantley?
He might score, I don't know if he has enough stamina to go to 15. He might score like 7. He'll have a great first stretch, and then I'll go, and then he'll get the ball back, and he'll be tired. So by that time, it'll be bad. Now, if we go to 11, it might be a little closer just because he'll have less time to actually play.
Yeah.
But he still won't beat me. But he's just getting old, man. And
it happens to all of us, brother. It's not the most fun thing in the world. Okay, last question. You've got a great relationship with your head coach, Shelton Diggs, who I've known for a long time. What's the score on a game to 15 between you and Shell?
Shell can't mess with me. He might not even score 5. Yeah, he's out of shape. And he knows that. But he's the guy where he'll make a good move and hit the shot, and he'll just be like, I'm done.
Right, and just talk crap about it for the
next
month.
Never play me
right?
again. Just to have one up on me.
That's great. All right, man. Well, hey, I appreciate you taking the time to talk to us. Glad to hear everyone over there is doing well. You guys stay healthy, and hopefully we'll see you back, not via Skype, sometime soon.
Will do. Appreciate you.
Phenomenal interview. Not only one of the best basketball players in the nation, but maybe one of the most well-spoken juniors in the nation. That kid is media trained, my dude.
He's media trained, and he's just sharp. I mean, he thinks critically about things. You and I are blessed. We mentioned this. Like, I think we're just very lucky that the best athletes in Long Beach have tended to be really good people who have their heads screwed on. And, you know, that's not always the case. And I never blame. I wouldn't have had my head screwed on if I was in the position he's in. I mean, I would have been the biggest asshole. I would have been the biggest asshole in the world if I was a 5-star recruit as a high school junior. I enjoyed getting to catch up with him for sure. I was a little bit jealous because he'd just gotten a haircut, which I've not been able to do for these last couple months. There are some privileges, you know, being a young kid. but yeah, no, I definitely appreciate him taking the time and hope everyone enjoyed it.
Before we get out of here, we got to do our quarantine recommendations, something you can do at home, non-sports related. Mike, what do you got this week? You've been playing some new games with the kids other than, you know, throw the newspaper?
Definitely a huge fan of throw the newspaper. my wife and I are still making our way through The Good Place, which I think I've recommended on this before. Have I? Yes.
Yep. Shout out to our friend Katie who works at NBC. Such a great show. I just love Ted Danson, man. Just love him.
Yeah. So then, it just so happens that Darcy Carden and Ted Danson, who are the two of the people on The Good Place, have been on, Conan O'Brien's podcast, two of the last 3 weeks. So I've really been enjoying that as well. But I guess my number one recommendation would be long walks. I've been doing that at night. We put the kids down and my wife and I are sort of like, all right, man, let's take, 20 minutes to decompress here before we have adult time. So I've just been like throwing on my headphones and going out for a long walk. I love the new Giveon EP, Long Beach guy. Walks are my recommendation, which should give you a sense of how smoothly or not smoothly things are going in my life at this current moment.
No, that's a great one. And part of that phase two reopening that includes the golf courses getting back open, they're going to be opening the parking lots next to the parks. You can still walk through them, but those parking lots have been closed. Well, those are going to be open, so a lot easier to find a great place to take a long walk this weekend. And maybe you go out there with your mom.
Just,
you know what I mean?
Please. Perfect. I mean, it's going to be so hard for me not having my mom down here this weekend. And not meeting you at the Ren Fair with my wife,
Truth.
The mother of my kids, and your mom and family.
We're the coolest moms in California hang out on Mother's Day.
Yeah, just one request. Please continue to practice social distancing if you go to the parks or the beach.
Amen.
Or wherever you go this week, so that we can just not have to go back to a complete lockdown again. Please, 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 please.
Yes. Listen to smart people and stay smart out there. My recommendation is actually kind of an idea. Listen, streaming season isn't over yet. Okay, things will be reopening, but we're still going to be inside for a long time. And I'm sure you've been digging deep on Netflix and Hulu and Amazon Prime and all that stuff. So I've got some stuff that I think you may have missed that you can go back and rewatch, recheck out, or even tell your friends about. I've got a couple here, Mike, and I want to see if you've seen any of them. All right, you ready?
Okay, yeah, hit me.
All right, I got a stand-up comedian. His name's Ryan Hamilton. And his stand-up is called Happy Face. This guy is like a younger version of Jerry Seinfeld, and he's from Idaho, and he's in New York talking about New York from an Idaho perspective.
Oh, that's great.
It's phenomenal.
Did you see that Jerry Seinfeld has a new Netflix special out now?
Very.
You already watched it.
Very, very good. all right, I got a book to movie. I think you've seen this one. 11/22/63, the Stephen King novel that turned into the 8-episode show with James Franco playing a... English teacher from Maine who travels through time and tries to stop the assassination of JFK. It's a good one.
Yes, yes. Love the book. Love the show for sure.
All right. How about this one? A classic movie. You ever see Tootsie?
No.
Okay. Watch Tootsie. Dustin Hoffman, 1982, a heartfelt comedy where he's a struggling actor who dresses as a woman to get a job on a soap opera. It's widely regarded as one of the greatest screenplays of all time. Tootsie, check that out. That's a really good one. I've also got a dark comedy for you. The Lobster. You see that with Colin Farrell?
Yes, I've seen that.
Dude, 45 days to fall in love or you turn into an animal. That's all the information you need to watch that one.
It's good. Yeah, I like that one for sure. You're deep in the bag on The Lobster.
Oh, hey, listen, I'm trying to help you guys out. Okay, I'm in the same boat. I'm digging deep. I got one more. I got a mind bender for you. Midnight Gospel, okay? It's TVMA for sure, but Duncan Trussell's new animated show on Netflix.
I was about to say, it's the next Adventure Time.
Yes.
Is all you need to tell people. If you liked Adventure Time, you should watch Midnight Gospel.
Yeah, it's a podcast with a non sequitur cartoon, and it is fascinating. And you always come out of it thinking a little bit more. And I really love Duncan Trussell and his whole steez. So check that out as well. And if you've got something that you think we should watch that didn't make our list from what? Now, 2 months, we're 2.5 months into this thing. We've given you guys a lot of recommendations. So if you've got a recommendation for us, please
hit us up. We're bored.
Throw it back. Well, that's it for this episode of What Up Long Beach. Thanks to everybody at Long Beach Post and the562.org for making everything happen. Check out those stories we mentioned at the top of the show. They're at both websites right now, including that 562 classic video, which I might go back and watch it right now. I like re-watching the classic videos that we just recorded because it's like you're reliving a relived experience. Which is also what quarantine's like. Let's get back to that. All right, buddy. I'll talk to you soon. Thank you, Long Beach. We will see you soon. Stay safe this weekend and happy Mother's Day.